Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're beginning this morning in verse 16. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. This is God's Word. "As he passed alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. 'Follow me,' Jesus told them, 'and I will make you fish for people.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, putting their nets in order. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went into Capernaum, and right away he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and began to teach. They were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them as one who had authority and not like the scribes. Just then, a man with an unclean spirit was in their synagogue. He cried out, 'What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And the unclean spirit threw him into convulsions, shouted with a loud voice, and came out of him. They were all amazed, and so they began to ask each other, 'What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' At once, the news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they brought to him all those who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town was assembled at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place. And there he was praying. Simon and his companions searched for him. And when they found him, they said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I've come.' He went into all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Then a man with leprosy came to him and on his knees begged him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. 'I am willing,' he told him. 'Be made clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Then he sternly warned him and sent him away at once, telling him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.' Yet he went out and began to proclaim it widely and to spread the news, with the result that Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. But he was out in deserted places, and they came to him from everywhere." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy an inspired word. All right, first of all, this is a series of stories, series of incidents that happen, but they are all telling the same story, and that is that Jesus, when he began his ministry, got off to a quick start. After his baptism, he went out into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted. We read about that last time. And then he begins his public ministry following his baptism and his temptation. He begins his public ministry and immediately his fame begins to spread. Now I want you to realize that prior to the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he was still God incarnate. When he was 12 years old, he met with the teachers at the temple, and they were amazed by his knowledge because he was asking questions they couldn't answer, and he was giving answers that they hadn't thought of, and they were just blown away by this 12-year-old boy. But Jesus didn't launch his public ministry at age 12, or at age 16, or at age 18, or at age 21. You and I might think, well, what a waste of time. You know, God comes to the planet, and he is God. I mean, he's man, but he's God. So wouldn't it make sense to go ahead and get this show on the road? Don't you think we ought to get started? Do you ever feel as if God is kind of keeping you on hold entirely too long? Jesus was about 30 years of age when he began his public ministry. In a matter of a few years, doing exactly what the Father sent him to do, Jesus accomplished the plan. And let me tell you something. You and I may not know exactly what God has planned for us, but God does. God knows exactly what he has in mind, and our job is simply to do what he says. If we will do what he says, we will end up at the right place at the right time, and it's going to be for his glory. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus begins his public ministry, and what Mark chronicles for us is a series of things that happened that show how quickly things took off. The first thing that he records is that Jesus began to collect some followers, okay? He began to call some people to him. And he called Andrew and Peter, Simon in the text. And he called James and John. And what were they doing when Jesus called them? Fishing. Now, they weren't standing on shore doing this. They were commercial fishermen. They were guys who would go out in boats with nets and use those nets in order to catch large quantities of fish. The number one characteristic of a fisherman is that a fisherman wants to catch fish. They are not going out there for a pleasure cruise. They're not going out to do whale watching. They are going out to work hard catching fish. That involves sometimes being there in bad weather. I asked Dave Farnham, one of our favorite fisherman friends, I said, do you ever get seasick?
Oh, every year. When the season starts, I always get seasick. One time, I was thrown up over the side of the boat and had to catch my dentures in my hand.
Okay? That's a true story, as you may have gathered. But The seas can be rough. They can even be dangerous. But the fishermen are out there fishing. You know why? Because that's where the fish are. And you know what Jesus said to those whom he called to follow him? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will cause you to fish for people. Now, they weren't doing something sinful. These guys were not running a crime syndicate. They were fishermen. But Jesus called them to totally change their lives by totally changing their priorities. Now, they weren't going to be focused on trying to make a living. Now, they weren't going to be focused on trying to catch fish. Now, they were going to be focused on doing the will of the one whom they were following. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was looking for people. He was looking for sinners. That's who he came to save. And so these guys were going to have to go where the people were instead of focusing on where the fish were. And they were going to have to try and reach those people with the good news of God's kingdom. So if you and I follow Jesus today, what do you think he'll make us become? Fishers of men. We will begin to be concerned about people around us instead of just saying, you know, that person acts like they're going to hell. Well, it's probably because they are. And we need to be concerned and wanting to reach out and share the good news with them. Oh, I don't think they'd be interested. You might be surprised. Some of the people we think of as the least likely candidates for the gospel are the people who are most desperate for a change in their life. And some of the people who we think are really pretty nice people, they'd look good in church. And somehow they're not interested. Why? Because for the moment, their life is pretty much all together. But the fact is, every single one of us desperately needs a Savior. And so our job is to look for opportunities to prayerfully share the good news of Jesus Christ, because people all around us are lost and they need to know him. Now, after these folks started following him, they went to Capernaum, and right away he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and began to teach. They were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them as one who had authority and not like the scribes. What does that mean? It means that most of the people who taught would say, well, now Rabbi so-and-so says this, and Rabbi so-and-so says that this could mean this, and it's possible also that it means this, but we don't really know. And they didn't say, this is the way it is. Guess what Jesus did? Jesus said, this is the way it is. He said, you've heard that it was said long ago this, but I tell you, this. Now, why could he do that? Because he is God incarnate. Jesus was beginning to reveal himself. And so he taught with authority, not like the scribes. Now, while he was doing that, while he was teaching, there was an interruption. And the interruption came from a man who had an unclean spirit. And he cried out. That means he yelled. Okay? What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Now, wait a minute. Why would that man say that? Because it was the unclean spirit speaking through that man. That unclean spirit recognized Jesus for who he is. He is the Holy One of God. And what else does he say? He knows he's headed for destruction. You know what's going to happen to the devil and all of his armies of demons? They're all going to be destroyed. They're going to go into the lake of fire forever. That is where you end up if you follow Satan. And sadly, that's where most people are going. That's the road most people are on. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel on it. So what did Jesus do? Jesus told the spirit to be quiet and to come out of the man. Did the spirit obey? Yes, but it was not a pleasant parting. When that spirit came out of the man, he threw him into a horrible convulsion and then came out of him, shouting with a loud voice. Well, when Jesus cast this demon out, people were amazed. They were absolutely amazed. So what did they do? Well, they began bringing other people who had demons, other people who had problems. The news spread throughout the entire vicinity of Galilee. And one of the first things that happened is as soon as they left the synagogue, they went to Simon and Andrew's house with James and John, and Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever. And they told him about her at once. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. Peter was a married man. Okay? Peter was a married man. We know that because he had a mother-in-law. Okay? It says his mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever. Jesus dealt with that. Okay? He healed the woman. And when she was healed, she didn't say, thanks, I think tomorrow I'll try getting up. She got up and she began serving them. She wasn't kind of healed. She didn't just feel better. She was completely healed by Jesus, and so she got up and she began serving them. When evening came, they brought to him all those who were sick and demon-possessed, and the whole town was assembled at the door. And Jesus healed multitudes of people. And all kinds of people with all kinds of sicknesses were able to find healing from Jesus. And all kinds of demons were made to come out and to loose the people that they had controlled. And Jesus would not let them speak because they knew who he was. So very early in the morning, while it was still dark, now when did they do all this ministry? When did Jesus help all these people? After sunset. So they were up late. But the next morning, very early, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. I believe it was Martin Luther who said, I have to get up very early in the morning so that I can have an hour of prayer. But if my day is going to be especially demanding, would you think he'd say, I sleep in? No, he said, I get up an extra hour early so I can have 2 hours of prayer. How important is prayer? Well, if it was important to God incarnate when he lived as a man on this earth, it certainly is important for us. We need to get our marching orders from the Lord. We need to spend time in fellowship and communion with him. He loves us, and he wants us to be in deep relationship with him. So Jesus was out praying, and Simon and his companions searched for him. Imagine, they are so excited, they've given up everything to follow Jesus, and now as they're following Jesus, miracles are happening, fabulous things, wonderful things. He's becoming famous, crowds are coming. They get up in the morning and the place where Jesus had been sleeping is empty. It's like, oh no, we haven't lost him, have we? And they start calling and he doesn't answer, and they start looking and they can't find him. So everybody's searching for him. And when Simon and his companions found him, they said, everyone's looking for you. And he said, let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I've come. Now there were people there who wanted to spend time with Jesus. I just got healed last night. My child just got delivered from a demonic spirit last night. All these wonderful things. We'd like to spend some time with you. And Jesus says, no, there are other people who need help. You and I need to be very sensitive to the Lord, asking him, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? I'm yours. I want to obey you. That's the goal, folks. It's not to set up our little thing. It is to do what the Lord commands. So, Jesus begins traveling. He went into all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, plural. He was going from town to town and driving out demons. Please notice that he wasn't just preaching. He was confronting the forces of darkness. There really are evil spirits. They are real, they are powerful, they are intelligent, and they're still active today. And part of Jesus' ministry was not only proclaiming the good news, but it was taking authority over demonic spirits as his father directed him. As he was doing this, verse 40, there was a man with leprosy who came to him, got down on his knees and begged him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Let me tell you, the one you didn't want to get close to a person with leprosy. They had to say, unclean, unclean, wherever they went so that people wouldn't accidentally have contact with them. This guy comes to Jesus, falls on his knees, and begs Jesus to heal him. And Jesus doesn't just say the word, which he could have done. Jesus also heals him in another way. He reaches out and touches him. He reaches out and touches him. This guy hadn't been touched by anybody but another leper in a long time. But Jesus healed him, physically and emotionally. Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. Now that is beautiful. And that is a picture of what he does for us. This man had a problem he couldn't solve. This man had a problem that broke his relationships with others. But he comes to Jesus, and in humility, down on his knees, he begs for Jesus to have compassion on him. Jesus had compassion on him, and he touched him, and he healed him. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Verse 43, then Jesus sternly warned him and sent him away at once, telling him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now earlier, the people were amazed that even the demons obeyed Jesus. Here's a guy who owes Jesus big time because Jesus has just healed him. Okay? He begged Jesus to do this. Jesus did it. And then Jesus says, now, I want you to do something. Did the guy do it? No. He went out and he told everybody. And the consequence was that Jesus couldn't go into the towns anymore. Because this didn't help his ministry. This hurt his ministry. Not because people wouldn't think well of him, but because people would try and control the agenda. People would try and be in charge of who is going to see Jesus next. And Jesus could no longer simply follow the Father's direction from town to town. Now he had to go out into desolate places. And out in those wilderness areas, what happened? Crowds still came from everywhere. This is just chapter one, but Jesus is already a celebrity. And even those who just want to see, they just want to watch, Jesus didn't come to entertain. Jesus came to save us. And you and I need to realize, as we're dealing with Jesus, I actually heard a comedian last night that was clean. He said he was watching a basketball game with a friend of his, and his friend was so invested in whether or not the Cavs won. And he said, and they won. And my friend was okay then. But he turned to me and he said, you know, I prayed that they'd win. And I said to him, I'm a little concerned. You're on your third divorce. You're out of work. You know the eviction notice is coming. And this is what you pray for? I think God may have answered your prayer, but he's got to be wondering about your priorities. I know those folks. There are a ton of people who are really consumed about all the wrong stuff. Let me tell you something. God knows what you and I really need. And as we said last time, we need to be praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray for the right stuff. And Jesus shows us how to do it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.